Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. It's regrettably Neil Patrick Harris time. Me is Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, gang. Yeah, I think we should just get into it because this episode's too much. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's part two of an episode.
The light part was part one, regrettably.
Yeah. And so, like, if this is the first episode you're listening to, first of all, welcome. We're so glad to have you as part of the family. Thank you. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Thank you. We love you very much. Probably don't start on this one. Probably go back to at least part one of this episode. All right. Now that you're all out of the now that we got those losers out of here, let's record a damn podcast. So last time we left off with the terrifying reveal of they did actually cut Jimmy's hands off. That wasn't like a hallucination or like a weird fever dream or like a memory someone had that wasn't real.
It's sad, like this season we actually have to like specify that, and it's kind of like only a little bit of a joke, you know, but I guess what are you gonna do?
Yeah, don't worry. An exposition ghost didn't jack into his brain and make him think he was a clown without hands. That he just doesn't have hands, actual, for once.
What a wet fart of a thing for them to go through with. Out of all of the things they've said, like, or like teased that they might actually do, and this is the one that they're like, no, it's real. Lobster Boy got his little hands cut off. Okay. Is that anything?
So here's my other thing, and I'm worried this might come off a little ableist, but like they're treating his lobster hands as like some big special thing. Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's his big quality. It's his standout thing. It's what makes Jimmy special. But it's like they were like really inconvenient to him and not good hands.
No, yeah,
like,
right?
Like, well, yeah, like it's like, if anything, the least good part of Jimmy.
I mean, but... Well, to be fair, he did a lot with them, right? He had an odd job on the side, you know?
He did a lot of folks with him, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like, that's the thing is, I don't remember where it goes from here, because honestly, this was such a flashbang of an episode that, like, I forgot what happens with Jimmy. But, like, I don't remember whether they try to frame it as being like, oh, well, the thing that made him a freak is gone, so now his life's gonna be normal. Like, I don't remember whether or not they want us to be like, yay, Jimmy lost his hands, now he's a normal boy, or whether we're supposed to be like, oh no, Jimmy's beautiful hands!
Yeah, they're framing it like, oh no, Jimmy's beautiful hands, which again, like, not the case. Not how everyone else. Oh, you know, the hands that got me, checks notes, ostracized when I went to go buy two hairbrushes.
No, his beautiful surgeon hands. Wait, no, that was a different guy who did this.
You know, frankly, that's while right. We're here, might as well be the same. It's fine.
I do remember we're gonna have to, this is unfortunately Chester's big day, like the rest of the episode is, like, we kind of like we eased you guys into Chester at the, when I say that part one was the light lifting, boy howdy, when I say that already insane Chester is gonna somehow get 80 times more insane.
Yeah.
Also, unbelievable.
You have to introduce two characters when you introduce Chester, which is like, you'd think that would be more of a thing with the twins, but no, just Chester. The twins, it's just like one of them's a little sharper, one of them's a little, like, one of them's me after like half of a weed brownie. Like, that's the only real difference.
Yeah, like a little nicer,
Chester,
likes
however,
movies
comes
more.
Comes with a little buddy.
Oh my god. So I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to do like a mental tally of what we do know about Chester so far as of part one of our episode. I think we established Chameleon Farmer. First and foremost.
Into puppets.
Was in the war and has like a metal plate in his head. Was like a veteran.
Yeah.
Magician. And a ventriloquist, which is not a magician, but they seem to think that it is.
It's like, you might as well. Yeah, exactly. He's like a triple threat. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's
like, yeah. Lizard salesman, ventriloquist, magician. What a triple threaty. A triple threat of making me sigh myself to death. Oh, brother.
I was thinking magician, ventriloquist, and veteran, but you know what? Yeah, right.
close enough. And he sells lizards, and he was really good at it, evidently. Like, that's going to be, like, a big plot point later.
I sold, like, 10 lizards last night. To who?
I have proof of my lizard.
She was
lizard.
Canadian.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we know about Chester thus far. And also, like, kind of had a little, like, and also the twins are, like, interested in him. That's the other thing. And he was, like, polite to them so far. We haven't really established any more other than that for him and the twins.
I think he did see two women when he looked at them at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Two different women. Yeah, like, completely different.
Yeah.
And it was very jarring special effects, and it was not good, and it was frankly upsetting. Frankly, quite
but
upsetting.
Like, not in the way that a horror show should be upsetting. It was just kind of like, yeah. I don't like this. Like,
it's
I don't
upsetting.
Know why.
Yeah, it was upsetting in the way that it's upsetting to see, like, a Cybertruck on the road. Like, that
yes.
kind of upsetting.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent metaphor.
Unnatural beast.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes you angry, and you're not really sure why, but you have to, like, keep looking at it to, like, confirm how mad you are about it.
Normally, I like things that look like the R-Wing from Star Fox 64, but this shit stinks. I don't get it.
And then it explodes as you're watching it. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that tracks. It, like, rusts and explodes at the same time. Whoa. So, Chester is showing Elsa the magic trick in one of the the magic trick is like magic show, which is ass. For the record, he's just like, check it out. These rings aren't linked. Clink, clink. Now they are linked. What's up with that? And Elsa just goes, hey, we're a freak show, not really a magic show, which fucking citation needed on this one. Because I think this is like 1% freak show and 99%. Like, Elsa, is there a single sign up here that says you got a wood leg? Is there even one? Because it feels like you're just here to sing, you know?
Yeah.
As are other people. They make the other freaks sing, too. And I'm like, I think if singing is, like, the thing everyone does, at that point, it's no longer, like, a freak show. It's just, it's a concert, but the people who are singing happen to be differently abled than other people.
Yeah,
it's, boy, it's me, Paul, the laminated and stabbed seal, but also I've got a beautiful voice. Like, why if does it could, have to be this way?
If you could see me now, like, Paul.
Okay, so I guess we had not established he's a ventriloquist yet. I think I had just mentioned that he was. Like, I don't think he had actually shown anybody it yet. I mentioned he was because it was really frustrating.
Whether or not he is a ventriloquist or if he's someone who just has a possessed doll that sits in his lap sometimes.
Okay, so it's one of three things. And spoiler alert, this is going to be ongoing, so we might as well establish it now. So he's going to pull out a puppet. Who is played by Jamie Brewer, the actress who played Addie in season one. And when the puppet is speaking, it is going to be speaking with her voice. And for the rest of this, he is going to be having conversations with this puppet, but it is radically unclear whether the other people are hearing, like, a woman's voice, or whether or not he's just real bad at ventriloquism. Or the funniest way to interpret it is that nothing is coming out of the puppet, and they're just like, wow, I don't think this guy knows what a ventriloquist is. Because based on what happens,
I like it all. Like,
like, he's just like, hey, I'm gonna drink a glass of water while my puppet talks, and then he just drinks a glass of water.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Ta-da! That is going so hard.
And I don't remember how this plot culminates, but it's got to be one of those three things, because he's either the puppet has a lady's voice that isn't his, or he's not making any noise, and people are just like, wow, dog shit ventriloquist, turns out. And then he's like, well, if you don't want me to do magic / ventriloquism, which are the same thing to the show for some reason, what if I did, like, what if I just did my chameleon salesman thing? Like, I'm really good at that. Here, look at my sales ledger. Look how many lizards I sold.
It's a lot. I have proof.
It's so many. I sold so many lizards. And Elsa's like, damn, he's really good at selling lizards. Yeah, you can be like our bookkeeper or whatever. And he's like, sick. Yes, nice. He really, I don't remember if we established that in the last episode, but like he really wants to be in the circus. And that like also doesn't make like a lot of sense, even given what we're about to like learn about him. Strange. Like, I guess maybe he thought that also was the only place he could do the ventriloquist thing. I don't know.
Also, like, a struggling circus, or I'm sorry, a struggling freak show means they don't, like, have a lot of money. So they probably don't need a lot of bookkeeping, is the thing.
Yeah, like, this is a good point.
I've helped run a couple, like, prog metal shows. Usually you just need, like, someone to count the tickets and then count the money and be like, yep. And then hand it to the performers at the end. That's all.
Yeah. Also, like, maybe you're better off like financially just selling the lizards, you know what I mean? And then just like do your little magic on the side. If anybody wants to see it, they can see it or whatever. You don't have to like get hired at a freak show. That's not really how it works. Also, why did you apply at a freak show when you're a magician? That's not they don't do that there.
You know, I think the thing is, like, we're saying this, like, could we make that, like, it's like, is it a circus? But the thing is that it's whatever they want it to be at any given moment, because it's like, it is a circus. They have a Ferris wheel. You know, like, it's really hard for me to just be like, this is just a side, you know, pay no attention to, like, everything else the show is showing us, you know? But, like, in reality, like, it is a circus. They just don't admit that it's a circus. And there's nothing at the circus except for a sideshow plus a Ferris wheel plus, like, a song here. It's a mess. Maybe that's what I'm getting at. Like, it's just a damn mess.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, if this was, like, a show that was rooted in the fantastical a little bit more, if it was a little more Are You Afraid of the Dark like coded, yes. Or if it was like, yeah, this takes place in the plane of Honk where nothing makes sense, you know, like any kind of background. But no, they had to be like, it's Florida. And, like, Florida has rules.
That's
not a lot,
right?
Less than most states, but, like, they've got some, like, physics. You know?
That's the thing, right? Because it's like they screwed themselves with this whole American Horror Story conceit, because they could have just been like, yeah, this is weird and Lynchian and you don't know why it's half a freak show or half a circus or whatever. And then reality is just, they just suck at writing. This is just a terrible show. Like, that's like how it always goes down to. So.
Yeah.
It just it would be like, yeah, this all takes place in Iowa. Like, there's something so, like, spiritually grounding about, like, an American state. It's just like, damn. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, this shit, it went crazy in West Virginia. Like, no, it didn't. Like, there was a man in a powdered wig voting. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And also, I think this is just a common issue with this series, with this franchise, because like they did the same thing with Asylum, of conflating an asylum with a church with a prison, and a hospital.
Like, it's like when you're a budding writer and you can't decide on a setting, so it's just like, what if it's all a setting? What if it's just everything?
I was gonna say, it's like you're a budding writer and you don't feel like doing any research before writing.
Just vibes based.
So you just make shit up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you got me there, actually.
I think one of these is more likely. Yeah.
They're just like, hopefully no one Googles whether or not you can be like locked in a room in an asylum or a hospital. It's fine.
I hope no one Googles whether or not there are magicians at the freak show.
I hope they put the same amount of research in that we did, aka none and just winging it.
And it's so weird because, like, sitting here and thinking about it, because I'm trying to think of, like, other examples. Another one that comes to mind is, like, the clowns inside the ice cream trucks thing, where they're like, yeah, clowns are always in ice cream trucks. That's, like, that's their deal. They love being in ice cream trucks. And it's like, oh, yeah, wait. No, they don't. Wait a second. What are you talking about? They just love the thing is, they like they do something that if you really weren't paying attention, you probably wouldn't catch it. like you'd be like, oh yeah, clowns, they're in ice cream trucks. That's that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which like again, the Lynchian setting would work so well for that, because it's like so close to correct that you're like, oh yeah, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh Lynch, you did it again, you weirdo. But yeah. No, now this time it's just like, you've never been to Florida. What's wrong
it's
with
like,
you?
Yeah, with Lynch, it's like, oh my gosh, that's like something I catch later. But with American Horror Story, it's like you're trying to trick me because you're lazy. You know, it's like it's just, yeah. You're disappointed, you know?
Yeah, you're just like, it's like you're telling a story to a child and you're like, the clown was in the ice cream truck. Don't ask questions. Anyway, so his dummy's name is Marjorie. I forgot to mention that a second ago. And we see him backstage. I say backstage. He's by himself, like, who knows where, in a tent somewhere. And he's putting on makeup. You know, the thing magicians and ventriloquists do.
Right.
When I say makeup, I mean, like, clown makeup. Not, like, a little bit of concealer.
It's like supposed to be performer makeup, but it's like way too much. Like he's wearing like comedic amounts of red lipstick, like the kind that you like show a small child putting on when they are trying to put makeup on like their mother or whatever, you know, like it's that level of just like, huh, like he fell into a stack of blush.
Yeah. Extremely rouged cheeks. And it's not clear whether they're about to perform or not or what's going on, but he's like talking to the puppet and the puppet is also talking to him like directly, which means either the doll is haunted and that's a ghost, either that or that he is talking out of the doll and actively doing ventriloquism to himself, or what I said earlier, nothing is coming out of the doll and he is simply talking to himself. Multiple people will catch him doing this over the course of the episode and all of them say something different that makes it seem like a different thing is happening. So I don't know. I'm shrugging. We won't find out, but we'll make more advancements towards finding out, I guess.
We'll keep an eye on it for you. You don't have to watch it. Okay, we'll do our best. Yeah.
We have top men on this. Don't worry about it. Top men are on the doll situation.
Yeah, we're putting feelers out. We got boots on the ground. We're trying. Paul the laminated seal comes in and is like, "Hey man, your makeup fucked up bad. You did a bad job." And then the doll laughs at him. Unclear if Paul can hear this or not. It would be so funny. God, I don't know what is the funniest way to interpret this, but like if he is actively ventriloquisting this and he makes his own doll like laugh at him when he gets owned, hilarious. Incredible bit. That's what all ventriloquists should be doing. But it's not clear whether that's actually happening or not. That's all we see of this. We don't see them like perform or anything, so I'm not sure why he was putting makeup on. Eve is helping Elsa pack up all her shit to go to Hollywood? Citation needed.
Yeah, I guess Elsa's leaving now. This kind of just happens. She's like, yeah, okay, I'm going. I'm going now. Yeah. I've decided it's go time for me.
Goodbye, friends. I'm out.
It didn't even hit me that, yeah, that's weird. Like, that, yeah, it's absolutely strange. But yeah, all right, so.
You think that's weird? Wait till you hear about this interaction between Del and Eve and Elsa.
Where is he?
Just to be honest, yeah, tell me, because I kind of forget.
So this is very clearly, I want to get ahead of it now. This is very clearly a case of there was an extra scene with some dialogue, almost certainly, that got edited out, but they didn't notice that by editing it out, it leaves out crucial information of dialogue between two characters. Because when we ended our last episode, it was Del being like, "My boy's beautiful hands, my poor boy's beautiful hands." And then the reveal by Jimmy that Stanley took his hands or whatever. So now he's mad for probably a lot of reasons. Like he had to see his hypno dick and was being blackmailed. That guy made him kill Ma Petite. So he probably has a lot of reasons to hate Stanley, but this is like it. He's like done now.
Yeah.
I have said Stanley a lot. Del will say Stanley none. He storms in to where Eve and Elsa is and is like, "Where is he? where is he? Does not give any like context clues to who he's talking about. Just is like, where is he?
Yeah. I guess if you have to cut a scene and make somebody just burst in the door screaming, asking for somebody with no context, that's got to be Dell, right?
Yeah.
if someone's going to do that, it's Dell who's the one who does that.
And so, like, of course, because he doesn't do what a sane person would do, which is saying, where is Stanley? Or in his case, he'd say, where is Richard Spencer? Because that's his fake name. They don't know that his name is Stanley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Instead of saying that, he's like, where is he? So, of course, Els is like, who the fuck are you talking about? And Del's like, my boy, Jimmy. And he frames this. He says this. He says, he cut off his hands, which the way he frames it makes it seems like Jimmy cut off Stanley's hands because of him not him playing this weird like pronoun game of him saying like he and like not using names. Insane. And then after that, he goes, how will my boy fight in prison with no hands?
Yeah. He can't hold the katana anymore. What's he going to do?
I'm like, who's going to pick a fight with... First of all, why is Jimmy getting in fights in prison? Why can't he just have like a kind of chill time in prison? Second, who's going to be fighting the guy with no hands? That's like fucked up. I don't think they do that.
There's no cred for that. Yeah. I don't know much about prison, but I'm pretty
like
sure.
Yeah, you look like a dick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's,
like,
you know.
Absolutely. That's the way that like you get the big guy to walk over and be like, hey, man, I heard you beat the shit out of Handless Jimmy. Get ready to fucking die, brother. Like, yeah, like, it's like, I can't believe you do. First of all, he saved the children. Not a lot of people remember this. I do remember this.
Yeah, I got nothing but time here, though. I can tell you all about it.
I was one of the children that he saved.
That's right. I was the small boy. Now I'm in jail. I committed terrible crimes.
I did a tax evasion.
What can you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. And also, like, Meep, don't get me wrong. Like, Meep could only say Meep and was, like, a little guy ripe for getting beat up. But, like, Jimmy's, like, a nice fella who helps. Like, Jimmy, if anything, like, he'd be, like, in there and they'd be like, what'd you do? He'd be like, I don't know. The cop showed up and took me away and claimed I killed, like, 9 people. Like, that. I feel like he would have a pretty good case for, like, yeah, no, he's probably on the level. Yeah. It's pretty clear the cops tried to do something here. Yeah.
I'm just now remembering that the thing that they threw Meep in jail for was like allegedly like killing a cop. And that got like a bunch of people who were in jail to be like, we gotta fucking kill this guy. I'm like, I don't think that they would be that. I don't think they would care that Meep killed a cop. I think they just wanted to beat up a little fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange. It's not like he did something that they would like hate him for. Very odd relationship between prisoners in this show. But how will my boy fight in prison with no hands? And then Del's like, I gotta go find him. And he walks out of the tent and is like, I gotta go save my boy. And Eve follows him out to confront him about when he tried to kill her.
Hey, wait a minute. Why is Del still allowed around here? Does no one remember the time he clearly murdered people and tried to assault and kill others? Did we just like forget about that? I guess we all forgot
me
about
specifically?
That. And me? Yeah. Specifically me? I guess. You know what? I just remembered this. I just remembered that guy tried to kill me.
And at this point, I was like, oh, finally. Hell yeah. She's going to beat the shit out of Del because he's still allowed to be here for some reason. And the way that they frame this is like, it's supposed to be a twist because she's about to be like, I've decided I don't give a shit that you tried to kill me, actually. I want to help your boy. Which sucks.
yes.
But they do it like a reveal, like we're supposed to be like, oh, whew. Oh, man, for a second I was scared there that Del was going to get his comeuppance. Ooh, thank God that didn't happen.
I got real worried Del. But
more than ever, I wish a motherfucker would. I wish a motherfucker would. Will someone kill Del?
And
please.
Eve can. We've seen that Eve can. So, like, it would be good if she was like, hey, everyone else is busy. I'm going to fucking swing on this guy. But she doesn't. She's like, I want to help your boy. And I'm like, why? Not just why are you like letting, because like everybody
doesn't
just
let specifically say to like, hey, Del, remember that strong man, strong lady act? I think we should do
yes.
that. And it's like, come on, come on. Don't call back to lying.
Also, how would she know that? That was a lie he told to Jimmy.
Wait. Yeah. Hold on. She doesn't know that. How can she make the callback? Oh, these
I mean,
the
only literally the only explanation for that would be that Jimmy came to Eve and was like, hey, I know you said that my dad tried to like assault you or whatever, but he said that he was just in there trying to do like a strong lady, strong man thing. So I think he's right and that you're lying. And she was like, okay. That's the only other explanation for how she knows that.
But yeah, and the only thing is that like, yeah, because if Jimmy did that, she would immediately counter with, no, here's what happened from my perspective, which is not that. And then there you have it. Boom. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I guess my dad's lying to me. You know,
the Toledo code. Sorry, the Toledo code. I can't listen to a broad, no matter how tall they are.
I forgot about that. Thank you, yeah.
The Toledo code says I can't listen to a dame.
God, I hate Toledo. I can't believe it. Toledo's fucked us again.
Oh, we'll wait till season 9 or whatever. No, I don't know. Season 19. All about
so
the Toledo
real.
Code, baby.
No.
Yeah, after New York, they were like, gotta get back to Ohio.
Back to our roots.
No. Okay, well, it's unfortunately time.
Chester time.
And the twins. The combo trio that we all crave. Chester comes to see the twins and he's like, thank you for getting me into the show. Here's a music box and it's got two ballerinas in it because you're two people. Is that sick or what? He's like, I was rooting around like a truffle pig in the storage area of this circus and I found some Adele's stuff. I'm sure he'll be thrilled that I was going through it. And I found a sawing box, you know, like magicians use. And the twins are like, excuse me, actually, that's very triggering for us. Please don't talk about sawing us in half.
Also, can I just say that the way the sawing box works, like the axis you cut the woman in half on, is like all wrong for the twins. You would need a wildly different box.
You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
You need like a vertical standy box. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's like, but like, it's also like the way the trick works is there's only one neck hole anyway, right? Like, no matter, you need a custom box for these twins. And it doesn't add anything.
A custom box for the twins.
Please.
It doesn't add anything. We need a custom box for the twins. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yeah.
we gotta get a special one so it's convincing that we cut these two people in half. But, like, not the way that would possibly be beneficial. Like, the worst way possible. We took her legs. Nothing else, though.
We took one limb from each side of them to really humble them, keep them humble. They were getting a little too big for their britches. The twins are like, please trigger warning, you're cutting a lady in half a bit, because we don't want that now. That we're very adamantly against it, actually. And he's like, oh, no, it's not real. Also, I just want you to be my assistants. You're not actually going to be the person who gets cut in half. I want them, he says it in a nice way, but basically the TLDR of what he's saying is, I want people to look at you because you're fucked up looking, that way I can get away with my magic trick.
I think to be fair to him, I guess, for I don't know why I'm being fair to him, right? Like, he kind of phrases it in like, because, how do I put it? Like, they start the conversation like that, where it's like, oh, yeah, you want us to be assistants because we're freaks. He's like, no, because you're beautiful. And I forget exactly how he phrases it, but he, like, kind of works it like that, right? Because they're, like, sort of, like, surprised and flattered by it. And they're like, of course we'll be your assistant, you handsome man with no discernible psych issues involving talking to a puppet or anything, you know? So, yeah.
And a lot of rouge.
Yeah.
And a lot of rouge. That's true.
Like, more than we're wearing, and we have four cheeks. It's kind of impressive. And now, all right, now we have
that's not impressive. I've got four cheeks too.
Okay, fine. They have six cheeks then. Jeez.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or wait, he says, no, I got four cheeks too, and he pulls out the puppet, and they're like,
Oh, speaking of pulling out the puppet, it's time to add a new layer to Chester, and this one's gonna be the weirdest one.
It's confusing. Yeah. I'm not sure what fetish this is or is not.
It's almost like an anti-fetish. So Chester's in a cuck chair, and that's not me doing a bit. That's real. He's in a cuck chair holding the puppet on his lap.
There are two human beings making love in a bed nearby, and he is in a corner in a chair. It is
watching.
The actual court definition of a cuck chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, the U.S. legal system would agree this is a cuck chair in the record.
Being used for cuck chair activities. And, like, who are the two women who are making love? You might be asking. I think we didn't say they were women, but there's two beautiful women making love in the bed. Who are they? Don't worry about it. We'll get there. But they are enjoying each other's bodies biblically. And they are very into it. And they are having a great time. It is the two women that he imagined Dot and Bette being earlier. He is angrily watching them make sweet, sweet love to each other with the puppet on his lap while glaring at them. That was a flashback, obviously. Now it's back to the present day. And he's doing the song The Lady in Half Bit.
Speaking of bits,
they did not give a shit.
This bothered the shit out of me too. Yeah. Much like the time there was a Starbucks cup just sitting on set. This time, there's a Fitbit on the contortionist. They don't even try to edit it out.
Yeah, no, yeah. Contortionist is wearing a Fitbit, and it's not like, oh, you can see in the back of the shot that there's a lady wearing a Fitbit. No, the contortionist is in full. By the way, we have a contortionist now at the circus, the freak show that
we've
never had.
Also not a freak, just a performer. That's just a talent.
Yeah, just a real bendy lady.
Calling Cirque du Soleil a freak show and having the shit beaten out of me by the most flexible people I've ever met.
Yeah, no, we get a shot of her being like in the box, like contorting so they can do the, because in case, I don't know, in case you guys don't know how the trick works for whatever reason, there's a fake box and he puts a lady who's actually a contortionist in it, and then he puts the like the divider in there and she scrunches her legs up so she's only in the top of the box. And then he pulls it apart and he's like, look, the lady's in half. But really, it's the lady's all scrunched up in the top of the box. Ta-da, that's the trick. But we get a shot
and
of
yeah, and
inside.
There's a second lady in the bottom half of the box who just wiggles her tootsies around.
Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
And so we get a shot inside the box of the contortionist. I don't know why we even fucking get this shot, because he explains how it works earlier. And then when it's doing the inside shot, you just, her wrist is in the front of the frame and you can just fully see her Fitbit. Cool. Well, that's happening. The police officer who our best friend Dandy hired slash is paying off is watching the show. Is that anything? We'll find out, I guess. Remember the hospital that our sweet boy Jimmy's at? He's there, and he's, I forgot about this part. They're two mean cops, and they're gonna take Jimmy back to jail. They don't give a shit that he doesn't have hands. He's going to jail. And they put him in a paddy wagon, and they start driving him back to jail. And somehow, Del and Eve have concocted this mastermind Michael Myers-ass plan to be exactly where the paddy wagon is, and chuck bricks at it. It works, and they manage to kill two cops with bricks.
Yay.
Somehow.
Problem solved.
That's definitely the impressive part, that they were like, you know what, these people throwing bricks at us, I'm gonna go engage them in melee fight.
Yeah.
They don't look like they're specialized in this.
What's a gun?
What do you mean he's the strong man? I can take him. Oh, my God.
No, I'm getting ripped to death. This sucks.
Oh, no, he's hugging me to death just like he did with the little tiny lady. No.
It's because you got in grabbing range. I don't even play fighting games, and I know you're not supposed to do that.
No, he's crying while he does it. No, not my death is lame.
Oh, all right. Well, that worked. That happened. That was all we get of that. Anyway, back at the freak show, the twins are getting sexy, I guess. And they go to see Chester, who is arguing with the puppet again. And they're just like, oh, cool. Sorry to interrupt. Anyway, hey, do you want to have sex? And Chester is like, no, the plate in my head's giving me Charles Xavier disease.
Okay. In case you forgot, at the beginning of this episode, the twins had a tiny duologue where they were like, we've decided everybody at the freak show is horny, and that's good.
That's
so
right.
We're going to get more horny, too. And so they try. And then, yeah, very good calling it the Charles Xavier disease, because it really is the, ooh, Charles, ooh, I'm getting the brain blast.
It stinks. It's so bad.
Yeah, they do like a horrible tinnitus noise, which is always insufferable when I won't try and replicate it, but imagine a screech and it sucks and it's bad.
You know, it's the most cliche like horror kind of thing of like, somebody's going crazy or there's something in their head that they can't stand. Oh no. And it's like, how about we make that a really high pitched thing? You know, like when a microphone's having feedback issues, that kind of. And,
you know how you suffer tinnitus when you're having, like, PTSD, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how you remember you had a really bad steak burrito and it's like a flashbang and Call of Duty went off?
Yeah.
It's like you were in a car accident. Yeah.
That's what war is like for remembering war.
Going to Chipotle and getting a really dog shit burrito. Exactly. So he succumbs to the Charles Xavier disease, and we're back to the cuck chair flashback again.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know. We escaped it for like all of 3 minutes. And now.
Like, can you imagine how annoying a show has to be for me to be sitting here watching this and be like, oh, I have to watch two beautiful women have sex. This sucks.
It's,
like,
right? It's so weird. But
it's
they
crazy.
It off. You're just like,
they're fucking up so bad. This should be a free slam dunk for all the folks. Everyone should be enjoying this, but no.
Right. You know, even academically, if you're a big nerd or whatever, you'd be like, yes, I see how this is enjoyable, but American Horror Story ruins everything. So whatever.
Me pointing to the screen, four jugs.
Like literally every time they're on the screen, Lucy and Alice is their names. I'm like, these bitches gay, good for them. But unfortunately, their story is tied so intimately with the cuck chair and the puppet that it's just ruined, unfortunately. So now they do some lore dumping. Well, we get the cuck chair flashback. Lucy is his wife, I guess. And Alice is her girlfriend. It will be just to get ahead of this because they reveal it at a very bizarre time. Okay, so what happened was he went to war and Alice's husband died and she moved in with Lucy, his wife, while he was at war. And then they were like, I like kissing women. And then they started kissing each other. And then they were like, we're lesbians, actually, and we really like each other. Or at least one of them is a lesbian, because Alice is like...
How long was your fucking deployment, bro? Holy shit, dude. Like, were you gone for like 7 years?
Yeah, it's like Castaway or whatever. He came back and was like, whoa, you got remarried to a lady.
Well, you know what happened?
Yeah, it's like Homer's Odyssey.
It was like Saving Private Ryan, but the people back home are like, oh, no, his wife is gay now. We got to get that boy home, you know? So,
yeah, these are the people of Jupiter, Florida, hated gay people, but they didn't say anything about lesbians. And also, I don't remember where this was, Georgia or whatever. Maybe it's different there.
Sure.
But
yeah, famously forward-thinking and progressive state, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The one that's checking notes south of Florida, according to Chester and the last part of our podcast.
It feels that way politically sometimes, but it's not.
So real. But yeah, so Alice does not like men, period. So she's, I guess, kind of hyped that her husband died, because she's like, oh, hell yeah, now I get to kiss my hot girlfriend, Lucy. Oh, no, her husband's back. This sucks. Well, I already live here, so would it be cool if I kept kissing your wife on the mouth as long as I don't have to kiss you on the mouth? And Chester will not like this.
Chester's like... And the thing is, like, his wife's like, okay, you can come get involved, just don't, like, touch Alice or whatever. And she's like, yeah, I guess that's fine. And she's like, okay, I do have to bring the puppet, though. And they're just like, ugh!
Yeah, I would like to state the two women involved consensually agree to have him involved in their relationship sexually and physically and emotionally. And later, Chester's going to be like, they didn't let me be in their relationship. This sucks.
Because he was like, I need to bring the puppet. And they're like, you can't bring the puppet. Come on, man. And then, like, the puppet, of course, is possessed and real and talks to him and goes, they think you've got a small wiener. they know you've got a small wiener. And he's just like, no.
No.
It's so weird because they don't really go into, like, did this happen from the war? Like, what was this from? Like, was he always? And they're just...
Like, was the puppet thing extant? Because the puppet's, like, a ghost of, like, a dead sister or something, I think. Like, it's not. Like, he was married before. Did she know about the puppet thing? Was the puppet thing extant?
Well, I hate about the show, like, they don't tell you anything, and you have to just kind of, like, sit there, like, what were they trying to do with this? Like, what's the backstory that they forgot to tell me?
Do you think
Lucy was like, okay, I have all the, I've laid it out for Alice, I've really settled it down, we've gotten it set up, so it should be okay when my husband gets back, and I think it'll be fine, and, oh, welcome back, honey, what's, who's that?
He's like, yeah, right.
That's all you got with you. Oh, this is gonna make everything so much harder.
Oh, right, yeah. Because she's probably like, look, he came back from war. I can't just be like, I'm leaving you for a woman. So I was like, all right, I'll give him this fantasy, and then everybody's happy, right? And then he's just like, has to ruin it with this whole puppet thing. I talked her into it.
The goddamn puppet thing.
Counterpoint.
So close.
I do think that he has always been like this, because when they ask him to get involved in the three-way. And they say no to the puppet. He goes, I'm going to the garage to work on my magic, which is like not the kind of thing you say about something you just started doing.
That's true.
So I think he's been doing this for a while. I think this is like Chester's whole deal, which means that at some point the conversation had to be like between Lucy and Alice, like, okay, my husband's coming back. He's got this puppet thing. Just ignore it.
For a second, I thought you were just going to be like, my husband's coming back. I have terrible news. He's a magician.
Yeah, that too. He loves to do magic, but, like, not good magic, like, fun magic. It's, like, all the ones that everybody knows. Like, that's all he does. It's just all the tricks that everybody knows.
And then Alice is like, does he know that, like, magic doesn't involve puppets, though? That's a ventriloquist. She goes, it's a whole thing. Like, all right, he also sells lizards. I can't, don't even start me on that, you know?
Yeah, where does that fit into this whole thing? Well, where it's was like, the lizard
farm?
Do you
think she was like, do you think she was hoping that, like, military life would, like, straighten him out a little bit?
Yeah,
like,
right.
He'd come back and be like, you know what, honey, I just want to work in the steel mill.
Mm-hmm. I've given up the puppets and the chameleons, and no, because what happened was she wanted that. He came back, and instead of giving up the magic and the puppets, he was like, also, I sell chameleons now. And she was like, God damn it. God damn it.
Also, the puppet talks to me, and I get these headaches that sound like tinnitus to everyone involved. Like, oh my God, go back to war.
Oh, I just want to have sex with my hot girlfriend. This sucks.
Who is, are they sure Hitler's dead? Maybe you should go back and check. But
I hear Hitler hated puppets. You should take Marjorie with you.
Well, either way, fucking Chester has to go to the garage to work on his magic because he can't get into the magic in front of him because of puppet stuff. Then we flash back to reality, regrettably, at the present time, where Chester's with the twins, and he goes, yeah, okay, I'll do sex, but puppet. And they're like, puppet. Like, at this point, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. All the puppet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think the thought process, they don't say this. They do not have the twins say this or think this, but in my mind, this has to be the conversation that went on between the twins, like, telepathically, is they were probably like, okay, well, it is kind of unfair that it's 2 versus 1 on our end, so at least he can have... At least he has the playing field.
Liz is immediately like, this is not casual sex, this is ranked competitive yeah. sex, and they need to think about the 2v2 meta.
Yeah, it would be unfair to not let him also have a duo. That would just be unfair.
Oh no, they're wobbling my dick.
I'm being juggled. This sucks.
No, I can't get out of this one.
Oh, I hate being crowd controlled during sex. This sucks.
No, they're sucking my whole team off. Wait.
This is the problem when you got 2 mouths. This sucks. In case you're wondering if, like, the sex scene is, like, interesting... It's not. We just see Neil
Is it poignant, Liz? Is there, like, poignancy in the sex scene? Do they, like, make any good points?
No. It's the exact opposite of the two hot ladies having sex. It's just, like, him with his pants kind of down, like, down at, like, his hips. And, like, he's holding the puppet and just kind of rubbing on top of the twins for, like, 30 seconds. And then it's over, and they're like, yay, that this sucked, or whatever. Dandy's in the show, thank God. This is the happiest I've ever been to see Dandy in my life.
Yep.
It's Dandy time, and the cop that he's paying money, who only wears black now, so we know he's evil.
Dandy's new best friend.
Uh-huh.
His new goon, his new boss that he gets to hang out with. Yeah.
And he's like, here, I brought you the pictures of whatever that's happening at the freak show that you wanted. And he's like, I could only stick my camera through the tent flap, which is a fucking lie, first of all. We saw him in the tent watching the show. Don't know why he's lying to Dandy. And also, why doesn't Dandy just go to the freak show? He knows Jimmy's in jail. So, like, no one else fucking knows who he is or gives a shit. So, like, why doesn't he just go to the freak show? I guess maybe so the twins don't see him?
Maybe he's worried that either, like, the twins would see him or that Jimmy has informed one of them of the truth at this point.
But he's,
like,
been,
Jimmy hasn't been back.
And he's been to the freak show. Last time he was at the freak show, he confirmed that no one knows who he is because he was just allowed to walk around.
Right. Because Jimmy was saying, like, oh, he's the killer right there. And everyone's like, ah, Jimmy's drunk again. What? He's always accusing everyone of being the murderer. And he's like, no, I literally, this is the only time. And they're like, yeah, whatever, Jimmy. You're always saying that.
Oh, if I had my lobster hands. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's different.
I would point to him and up to 3 other people.
I guess some of the pictures are of Chester having sex with the twins, maybe? I don't know. They don't say that, but, like, Dandy starts crying, so I assume that that's got to be, like, some of the pictures. And he's like, no, we've come full circle, and now the only thing I care about is the twins again, and I'm so sad. Unfortunately, we're done with Dandy now.
What if the photo was Chester with the puppet and Dandy was like, fuck, right, I was going to be a puppet guy and I totally forgot. And now I can't be. Now there's another puppet guy. God damn it.
This
now
sucks.
I have to kill the puppet guy because I forgot.
I have to kill the puppet guy. Or I have to get a new hobby, and I'm not made of time.
I've already been, like, 7 different guys. Puppet guy was going to be the thing. That was going to be my thing.
I was so sure puppet guy was going to be a big hit.
And then back at the freak show, Chester is trying to put Marjorie in the crate for some reason, I guess so he can have, like, normal alone time with the twins. And she's like, I'm going to reveal your secrets. You know how puppets are always saying this. and we're back to the goddamn cuck chair flashback again. But now it's just him, like, hanging out with his wife's girlfriend. the puppet was not there, which it's not clear why the puppet is not there, but he thinks that Alice, the girlfriend, did it. And he's like, hey, lady, you can fuck my wife, but you cannot touch my puppet.
But you know,
real, I think you should leave energy on this villain, let me tell you.
Oh my God. You know, it's funny because when it's happening on the show, you don't realize how weird a thing that is. But now I'm like, oh my God, yeah, he actually did that. Wow.
Yeah. Fuck my wife all you want, Mr. Man, but that puppet, you leave it alone. That puppet's got a malicious soul, some kind of malevolent spirit that hates me, so you better respect it.
Oh, he should hate you. I wish this guy would have gotten to hang out with Edward Mordrake, because Edward Mordrake has, like, the same deal with the little angry little face on the back of his head. Like, they could have all hung out. It would have been sick. Oh, so sad it's not Halloween.
It would have been sick, just not in the way we want it.
Not
be.
In the good way, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And so now he's hallucinating the puppet as a real person. So, like, we see the actress, like, just as the person instead of the puppet. Uh-huh. And he's like, or the puppet, Marjorie, is like, you should kill your wife and her girlfriend. They think your wiener's small or whatever. They hate you. They think you suck real bad.
They hate you. And they won't include me in their sex. They won't let me, the puppet, be involved.
I mean,
so we need to kill them.
If That's I was Marjorie, I'd be upset too. I'd be like, well, come on. I'm a hot lady too. Like, let me in.
Marjorie's not real. I know. Marjorie's a puppet.
I still feel like this is also wild that, like, some part of him would still have to be like, wait, no, why would they want to have it with the puppet? Then, you know what I mean? And then he'd be like, no, you know, except. Something like, evil puppet taking over my thoughts, but they don't do that.
No, he's just instead like, he's yeah, like, wow, thought. You make a valid point, Marjorie.
Yep.
And then Paul, once again, walks in on Chester talking to himself and is like, hey, did you fucking buy the circus?
This sucks so bad.
It's like, oh, well, I guess Chester bought the circus. And then we get a flashback to Elsa selling him the circus, where she's like, hey, I looked at your lizard book or whatever. You're like rich as hell, I guess, because of the lizards. Do you want to buy the circus? And Chester's like, oh my God, I thought you'd never ask. Of course I do. And then as Elsa's like packing to go to Hollywood, he's like, hey, can I like have your clothes so that I can give them to my very real, tangible friend, Marjorie, who's
hey,
not my puppet?
Really quick question here. Elsa is getting ready to go to Hollywood still, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
With Stanley,
mm-hmm.
right?
See.
Del did tell her that Jimmy's hands were cut off by Stanley.
Hollywood guy.
Yes?
Hollywood guy. He just does that sometimes. It's fine. He probably meant well.
Okay. It's for his client.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean.
Yeah, Liz, you're so right. It's his client.
I mean, how are they going to convict him of a crime when he's got no hands? Oh, wait. By the end of this episode, he will be convicted of two more crimes post losing hands.
Despite handless yeah. behavior. Yeah.
So Chester's like, can I have your clothes? All of a sudden she's like, okay, whatever. You fucking weirdo. I guess so. You weird piece of shit. And he's like, sick. And then he goes back to the tent to tell Marjorie that he's got new clothes for her. And oh no, she's missing
also,
again.
Also, adult human woman clothes do not fit a puppet. It's the puppet's like the size of a child. They're like different sizes. Oh, whatever. Whatever.
That's so
no,
cool.
No, you yeah, that's a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the cops are here again, and they're like, hey, do you guys have Jimmy here? We think that with no hands, he somehow murdered both of the cops who were supposed to bring him back to jail.
With no hands, he threw, checks notes, 4 bricks through the window of a car.
That he was in the back of.
That he was in the back of, kinda, through the front window.
We think he yeah. did like a pinball flipper kind of thing, maybe, with the bricks. We have a diagram.
We think he might still be able to control his hands, despite the fact that they are detached from his body, and we believe his hands may have done a malevolent act.
Yeah, you know, like that severed hand that's from, like, the Addams Family? We think he's, like, doing that.
Da-da-da-da. Yeah, he's gonna thing him.
And they're like, you gotta tell us where Jimmy is. We know he killed these cops. And Chester stumbles out and is like, oh, thank God you're here. You gotta help me find my puppet. And the cop's like, I'll shoot you. And it's like, whoa.
I'll shoot you, puppet boy.
Yeah. And Chester's like, no, don't shoot me. I just want help finding my puppet. I'm so sad. And no one asks for a warrant. And they just let the cops tear the circus up. Chester, like, stumbles away and is like, I gotta go find my puppet. Dandy is at the circus hanging out on the carousel with a big fur coat, and he's like,
with a bomb-ass coat? Why? He decided to be like, I'm Mr. Opulence today. I'm gonna wear my big fur coat and try and big pimpin' style for Dandy.
He's like, I gotta flex on Puppet Boy before I fuck with him.
And he's right, to be fair.
He does. He's right. And he's like, oh, hey, man, what's going on? You look so upset. What's happening? And he's like, my puppet! I can't find my puppet. And Danny's like, oh, I saw your puppet. She fucking hates you, brother. She's so mad at you. That sucks so bad. By the way, I know you killed your wife and her girlfriend. I don't know how Dandy knows this.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be the info he was getting from the cop, but, like, the cop doesn't say any of this. Like, he's just like, here's some photos of where the twins were. And then later on, Dandy's like, also, he told me that you've got a weird puppet brain disorder, and I'm going to exploit it.
My head. I'm as I'm known to do. Noise, thinking about it.
Now we get the last flashback, and it's of the actual murders. Now that Dandy has just straight up said it, and he imagines that Marjorie tells him that the women made fun of him and weren't letting him be involved in the three-way, something that they very explicitly verbally consented to. And then she stabs them a bunch. Or kills them with hammers. I don't remember. She just murders them.
Who cares? Still, I'll just be honest here. You know, like, at this point, it's like, you've lost me, American Horror Story, and you're not getting me back, so.
Yeah, because, like, it's not like we get there. Spoiler, there's only, like, 5 minutes of episode left. There's not, like, a reveal of, like, oh, no, he actually did do it. Like, no, we only see his perspective. So, like, we only see that he saw Marjorie killing them as a real person.
All they've really tried to establish and all the threat they're trying to make is that, like, there is a weird guy who is rich and bought the circus, kind of like Dandy, and he's into puppets, kind of like Dandy was for a while, and he listens to the puppet if it tells him to kill somebody, and now the puppet's going to tell him to kill somebody at the freak show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, too, like, we're way too far in the season for, like, also, like, oh my gosh, he killed the wife. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, of course he did. You know, like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, nobody's surprised by this. Like, oh my God.
They don't have time.
Yeah.
Like, what build? Like, if they try and do a build up and payoff, it's going to be like, and then everybody at the freak show died, comma, also, he killed the wife.
Yeah.
The end. Like, that's how much time we have left.
Yeah, right? Like, it's so,
Moral, there was a sewer man.
It feels like they, like, removed parts of Dandy's personality because they realized they were going to get Neil Patrick Harris. And they were like, oh, shit, parse off parts of Dandy and make a new guy. Like, Chester Cheetah.
Like, they weren't sure, maybe, you know? And then it was like, oh, shit, we got Neil Patrick Harris. We got to do it. All right. Forget this. Forget this plot thread, Dandy. You're back to this, you know? Like, oh, all right.
New puppet guy.
Yeah, they're like, we need a new antagonist because we're about to get rid of one of them. In a few minutes. And it's gonna suck real bad. So, Dandy.
Oh, God, I forgot! I forgot! Oh, this show sucks, brother!
Yeah. We have about.
I forgot this happened!
We are literally in eyeshot of the finish line, and a main character is going to die in the next few minutes.
Yeah!
Before that, Dandy's like, oh, yeah, Marjorie is in the big tent. And then Jester's like, oh, sick, thank you. And then he goes in there, and she is. And then Marjorie says that he needs to saw the twins in half. And I'm like, did Dandy convince the puppet ghost to work with him?
To say this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Did he persuade the puppet ghost? Because that's the only way this makes sense, that this information would get through.
Yeah. Elsa's in her tent drinking, and Maggie shows up because, remember, she was across the goddamn country with Desiree at that museum. They just randomly went there. And she's like, Elsa, I got to show you something. I hate that in TV shows.
All right. Now, listener, if you haven't already watched the episode, I want you to think for a second and tell me which main character is going to die and who they're going to be killed by. And I'll give you a couple seconds here. Okay, great. You're wrong, but let's go ahead and let's tell them anyway, because it's insane and impossible to guess who they would kill out of nowhere, given all of the buildup and explicitly saying we're about to kill the twins for like the 10th time at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're back now, Desiree and our good friend Maggie. And remember, Maggie has come clean about Stanley. So you might be thinking, oh, she's gonna finally tell Elsa about the Stanley thing so that she doesn't go to Hollywood with him.
So we're going to kill Stanley?
Yeah, we're going to kill Stanley. So we cut to Del, who's in his trailer, and Desiree is there. A normal place for her to be, given that they are ex-lovers. She has a gun, though. Don't know where she got it from, but she has a gun, and she's like, hey, are you gay? Also, arguably more importantly, did you murder Ma Petite?
I mean, I will say order of operations is a little fucked on that.
Yeah. Honestly, it feels like we could maybe just leave the first part out. Feels like we should address the murders part, and then maybe we can address the gay part. But first and foremost, maybe the murders part. And then I guess somehow Desiree and Maggie got Ma Petite back from the museum. How would they have done this without $7 million? Who knows? But they did somehow. And they're like,
they had proof. They had papers that was their Ma Petite.
Oh, it was the museum's like, all right, sorry.
Yeah. No, they were like, yeah, sorry. Here you go. Here's your Ma Petite. They did not get Jimmy's hands back, though.
Yeah. No, well, they can't prove they had Jimmy's hands, but they did have, they had the invoice for two crates of Dr. Yeah. Pepper.
Or not Pepper, Salty. Sorry, I forgot they took Salty's head. And so Del is like, yeah, I'm so sorry, I killed Ma Petite. And Desiree's like pointing the gun at him, and she's like,
okay, great. Die.
Yeah. Desiree's got the gun pointed at him, and she's going to get her sweet, sweet justice. But no, someone shoots him in the head from behind and snipes him and kill steals him. And it's Elsa, who's mad about Ma Petite dying. By the way, we get like a shot of them bringing Ma Petite's body to Elsa before this happens. And Elsa melts down all over again. And I'm like, before you thought she was torn up by coyotes, like, is this worse somehow? You already grieved her. Like, she's still dead before you thought she got eaten by coyotes.
This does seem to be how Elsa reacts if she sees like a sad looking puppy.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just kind of like that's her general reaction. She's kind of only got like between 90 and 100. There's no real values below that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if she just forgot that Ma Petite was dead, but her reaction is like she didn't know Ma Petite was dead. I'm like, well, we did have a funeral for her, but that's whatever. Del's dead. Womp womp. The end. Like, end of story.
Del did so many things to so many characters and had so many plot relevant people who would want to kill him, and Elsa is none of those people.
It's ridiculous.
Elsa feels the need to roll in from the other room and be like, revenge for Ma Petite. Like, who are you?
You were selling twins. Like, you're not great, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, like, truly, of all the people justified to shoot Del, Elsa's, like, maybe on the bottom of the list.
Like, frankly, if we got a weird, like, uncomfortable scene where Jimmy is, like, fumbling with the gun with his stumps or whatever, it still would have been a lot better than this, you know, but...
Or if Desiree was like, hey, what the fuck? And then shot Elsa in the leg and was like, oh, right, fake leg. Well, anyway, that was uncool. That was my guy.
Yeah. So everyone has a gun also.
Yeah. Remember when it was like a big deal that Stanley had a gun and was like an expert at cock shots? That was like his whole thing.
Yeah, turns out everybody just has one. Like everybody at the freak show has a gun, crazily enough.
Yeah, no moral.
That's the end of the episode, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, there's no like reaction shots or anything, or no people reacting to Del being dead. And I'm gonna be real, I will be shook if in the next couple episodes we get any mention of the name Del other than like maybe two sentences in passing. But I have a feeling at this point Del is fully and completely out of the script, because like really they just removed him in the most like, it feels like roughshod way possible of just like, oh, we gotta get this guy out of here. Okay, he's out. It's, okay, no more Del.
It's somehow like less satisfying than like Salty randomly dying in his sleep off screen. A character that we didn't care about dying randomly in his sleep between episodes. Like somehow this is worse.
Like they build it up as like, okay, Desiree's had enough, and you're like, okay, you know what, Desiree's not like that great of a character, but sure, she's got motives, she's got reasons, and then Elsa just rolls in and you're like, no, not you.
You both, she already had the gun and everything, dude, like what the fuck.
She even like did tar earlier for like Penny's dad. Like she's been cruel before, so like why not? Why with Del was she like, I'll at least give you a quick one, big boy. And then Elsa's just like, not so fast.
No. Me. Oh my god. Yeah, this is the second time Desiree has been like thwarted by a white woman trying to be like the savior. Really a tragic. Also, there's like not really any kind of cliffhanger. It's just that, oh no, the fucked up weird murder puppet wants him to murder the twins. We kind of figured that would probably happen given him.
I think like the worst part too is it's not even a case of like, there's something to be said for if someone is like unsure or uncertain if they need to kill somebody and they're like holding the gun and shaking and going through clear like moral turpitude or whatever. And then someone comes in and goes, no, I will shoulder this burden. You shouldn't have to make that choice. You're too young or whatever. But this isn't that. Like Desiree was going to kill him and had clearly made the decision and was like getting like was squeezing the trigger. Like her soul had already bared the weight of this, and so Elsa coming in is just like a bitch move to just be like, no, like it's not, there's no savioring even happening. It's, here it's yeah, ridiculous.
It's really bad.
Yeah. So we have nothing to look forward to, really. I would like to say, because I'm sure I'm going to be mad about it when it comes around next week. So the title of next week's episode, you may be thinking to yourself as you're reading it, oh, Liz must have just made a typo here. Wrong. The title of next week's episode, season 4, episode 12, is Freak Show - Showstopper, which means that the full title of this episode is American Horror Story Freak Show. Freak Show.
Freak
Showstopper.
Showstopper.
Yeah.
So you know
the word
what?
Show is in there three times in this one title.
Go. Why not? At this point.
Wow.
They did that in Coven too. For what it's worth, they did it in Coven also.
They did a lot in Coven. They just remember they just had music videos out of nowhere. What a weird show. This
American
is.
Horror Story, the show, the movie, the game, Freak Show, Showstopper, the musical.
Freak Show, Freak Show, the Showstopper.
Abridged. Yeah. Director's cut.
Well, yeah, I guess next time, Freak Show, Showstopper, stop
the show.
See ya.
Yep.
Someone's gonna die, probably.
Hopefully.
I hope it's, I hope Chester,
I, hope Del
I hate this guy.
I hope Del comes back and we get to kill him again, frankly.
I can't wait.
Honestly, I hope Del comes back and kills Chester. I think that would be okay.
Yeah.
All right. Till next time.
Take easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.